From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios on this Wednesday morning. Not real sure where this podcast is going to go today, but we'll stay with you for a little while. Thanks to everybody that listened, interacted, and reacted to Dan Wolken on the podcast yesterday. Again, thanks to Dan for giving us a little more than an hour. If you happen to miss it, you will have had to have been living under a rock, but you can still find it iTunes, everywhere else. It was an interesting deal where the message board immediately had 7,000 threads, and I appreciate that. We had a lot of traffic coming over from Elite Dogs yesterday. I checked Chartbeat, and Elite Dogs was just like popping off the top of my analytics page. I said, "Well, we've made some inroads in multiple places today on the Potato Log Podcast." So,
if you are running a business in the Golden Triangle and you're not advertising on this podcast, I get it, but you're missing an opportunity.
Yeah. So we had some maroon and white listeners yesterday. Twitter turned into basically the mean tweets thing, like all day. The people that never listens to us had huge problems with it. They did not listen to see actually what we asked or didn't ask, but that's fine. We appreciate that. But
you are a traitor.
Yes. You are not noble, Neil.
That was not noble.
Yeah. Not noble and pathetic were a couple adjectives that I saw at one point during
Yes. What is the word for not? Is it? It's not ignoble or unnoble. It's just not noble. Is that right?
There's no prefix you put on noble to make you.
I don't think there is.
You don't think so?
Like, you can be irresponsible. You're not responsible. You're irresponsible. You're immature, not mature. I don't think with noble there's an non-noble or unnoble or ir-noble. I think you're just not noble.
Okay.
Anyway.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
that could apply too, honestly.
That's coming. Yeah, that is coming eventually.
So anyway, but really just thanks for the little. I enjoy the interaction, even the things that are completely and utterly rude and everything else. It's fine. I'm got pretty thick skin at this point, so it's pretty
I laughed quite a bit. I laughed quite a bit. I did get the one I loved. It was, "Hey, what'd he say?" It's like, "No, come on, man, I can't."
And an hour and 15 minutes. How about you hit a play button?
Yeah, just you're gonna have to figure that one out for yourself.
Someone
asked for a transcription. I said no.
Oh God.
Yeah. I said no.
That's someone who's never transcribed anything. See how bad that would have sucked.
Yeah, you've never until you've transcribed an hour of audio.
It's like it was a couple media members after Mike's press conferences on those preseason things. They'd like walk over and be like, "Hey, do you want to share and start transcribing this?" Like, no.
Hell no.
I'll go find a quote if I need it. Thank you. I'm good.
Yeah. Because we'll do those deals in football where Freeze will talk 30 minutes on a Monday. "Hey, who wants to transcribe this?" If you're really using all of that, God bless you.
Well, the school does it and puts it up a couple of hours later. I can be a little delayed with my my transcription.
The school will water some things down. I'm like, I'm good with that. That's fine.
Yeah, but it's pretty accurate. Yeah, not bad.
I can wait a little while. I don't have to have it right now.
You get it by like 5-6 o'clock, something like
plenty
that.
Plenty of time.
Normally. I did connect with a guy. I got a DM from a guy yesterday who I was at ICC with and haven't spoke to since, and he was listening to the podcast and just checking in. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, people interacting with people. I mean, you know.
Always good to reconnect.
Yeah, finding long-lost friends. He was on that stupid Trivial Pursuit team with me back in the day when we were doing that.
I reconnected with a friend from Ruston, a girl named Terry Acklin. Her last name is now Harlow. She lives in suburban Chicago.
Okay.
Lived in our neighborhood. I lived in a neighborhood full of boys. And she and her sister Susan were probably the only girls, really, in the neighborhood. It was like second, third, fourth grade. And I remember so many things. I mean, we went to high school together, everything. But anyway, I saw her on Saturday for the first time in 29 years.
Wow.
And it was so funny. It was like, you know, when you grow up with people, it's a different experience. And she was, you could see her house from our house. I've known her since I can remember. And it was like no time expired. Isn't that amazing? No time elapsed. It was just bang. Right back to, I mean, 3 decades.
Yeah, I just don't see people from that time period of my life ever now. And it's amazing because, I mean, well, at least you're hours away from Ruston. I mean, I'm an hour and 5 minutes from Amory.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about this, and I won't spend too much time on it because it'd be really, really bad pod. I don't know the last time I spoke to anyone I graduated with high school. Not a word, not a message, nothing. No. I talk to my college friends all the time.
You've been out, what, 15 years?
Yeah, 02.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, right, literally. Yeah,
15 years.
Yeah.
Did you go to the 10-year reunion?
Nope.
Did you have one?
Yep.
You didn't go?
I was in one of the people that was supposed to plan it. Didn't go. Because I was class vice president.
If I'm still around, I mean, if nothing happens in the next...
I saw pictures. I really wasn't upset I didn't go, honestly. Yeah. I kind of looked at it and went, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go to my 30 year.
Well, I got annoyed.
No matter what.
I got annoyed because, like, a couple of the people that were in charge of putting it together, I'm like, look, this month's kind of busy because it was in August, right around football starting and all this stuff. And I'm like, hey, I can do this weekend, or this weekend. Can't really do this weekend. Well, they planned it that weekend. Now, maybe that was telling me something.
Could be.
In hindsight, maybe I was a prick or something, and it was an anti-Chase movement. But they did not give me much help on the date of said reunion.
I've always had a football game to cover for the 10-year, the 20-year. And I'll have one for the 30-year, but I'm going to go.
You're going to go to the 30-year. I'm going to go. Okay.
Because in the last year, I've had interactions with high school friends, and it's like...
You seem a little more positive and
I guess I have some Bearcat fever, maybe. You know, I mean, just... I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Continue this in a second. First, tell you, podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Check out the lunch specials, $4.99 every single day. Check out the ribs at night. You can call ahead, have them wrapped up and ready to go, or just show up, and they'll make that work too, wet and dry. Also, the Plenty Card, PLENTI.com. And remember, as I've been telling you now, it's a blue sky in Oxford, not a Circle K. Same people, same great deals, just a different logo out front. It is blue sky. They're using that a whole lot more across the state of Mississippi with all Craddock Oil locations. So up and down I-55 throughout North Mississippi as well. Craddock Oil there with the Plenty Card and more. Also with the Oxford Crystal next door to the Oxford Exxon. Mix and match 5 for $5. You can include the fried chicken, the country fried steak, and more in your mix and match. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It is that simple. No haggling. Right to the bottom line. You can get a quote online after hours, all of that. And then it's up to you. You get your quote. Shop it. Or you can do what so many other listeners of this podcast have done, from Missouri, practically Illinois, to the coast, all over Mississippi, Atlanta, Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, and that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Let Clark Ford do it for you. They will. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. And then on top of that, at the end of the deal, right before everything is signed and done, pardon me, tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. You can mention a specific episode of a podcast, whatever you want to do. $500 off. The bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, I don't guess I have anything else on the topic of reunions and...
Anything I'm sure it will be a major disappointment, but I'm going to go to the 30 year.
What are you really expecting, though? Nothing. How are you disappointed by a reunion?
I don't know.
You go in with zero expectations.
Yeah, that's true. The people who make mistakes are the people who build something up in their heads, like this vacation's going to be the greatest vacation ever. This reunion's going to...
A reunion, if you build it up in your head, it's the equivalent of when you were a junior or senior and went, hey, prom's going to be awesome. No, it's not. Prom's going to suck. You didn't go, so you have no idea. I'll tell you the equivalence from what everybody has to deal with right now.
Okay.
The holiday that you always have to do and you always have to spend a little money and whatever and sucks, New Year's Eve. sucks.
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Set menus, expensive crap, crowded places.
I very rarely do any New Year's Eve.
No, we started like cooking at home, like making it low-key completely. Because, I mean, if I want to go to a restaurant, I'd like to order off the actual menu. So I'll go on the Thursday before instead of the Friday when you charge me $187 for crap I don't eat.
Yeah, see, I'd rather go to LB's and buy a really nice piece of meat, steaks or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cook myself. Get a nice bottle of wine. I don't have to be awake for Ryan Seacrest to tell me it's the new year. Nothing against Ryan Seacrest, but it's not a requirement for me.
Did I stay up last year? Don't know. Don't remember.
You probably did if there was a game on that had you captivated. Otherwise, you probably went to bed.
I mean, I had a good time in New Orleans for New Year's Eve for the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, you did.
That was fun.
You did.
Yeah. Ate at Pesh. It was good.
Yeah.
Really liked Pesh, one of my favorite restaurants in New Orleans.
You
set menu, but
you were hurting a little bit the next day.
I had a really hard time getting out of bed at 5 p.m. the next afternoon. Yeah, yeah. It was like, what time's the shuttle coming? I don't know. Okay, let me try here. Let me try to eat. Because what I remember about that is when the clock's getting kind of close, you get a little high strung, you get some anxiety about you as you're moving and trying to get somewhere and get situated, and you left your computer cord. You had to like go run back to the bus or something. You actually were probably 45 minutes after us actually getting into the stadium.
Well, that was the day that Campbell called and said that Laura was...
Oh, that's right.
Laura couldn't get up.
That's right.
She had the back issue and the spinal thing basically had finally exploded on her. And so I'm trying to decide, what do I do? Do I? It's nighttime. Do I drive? And everyone said, don't drive. Don't drive. And I'm thinking I probably ought to drive, but I don't. And then so I'm distracted, and I leave my computer cord at the hotel. And I actually ended up getting back on the shuttle, going back to the hotel, getting the computer cord, getting back in plenty of time.
You would have been in trouble had you not caught the shuttle before it got out of there.
Yeah.
And had to wait another rotation.
Right. I realized quickly the problem that I had.
Yeah, you were like, I mean, we wouldn't even gotten it through security yet, and you were already turning around running, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So,
but no, New Year's is the one holiday that I completely overrate from a go do something standpoint.
It is. It's totally overrated. Are you big on Thanksgiving?
Well, we've been through this. I mean,
know. I just like Thanksgiving now. We're going to spend it in Starkville. I'll be honest. For the first time, I'm not trying to hyperbolize anything. I am not looking forward. I think in my mind, I have extrapolated down through time what's coming.
Okay.
So, in my mind, the window for Ole Miss to receive its penalty
is right around there.
Is October 15 to about November 1-ish.
Yeah, I would stretch it to November 15, but sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that.
Uh-huh.
That game is Thanksgiving night. People are going to be really pissed. Either Ole Miss people are going to be really, really pissed because they're going to blame Leo Lewis and NCAA for this fairly to a degree, or the Lewis thing by then is going to have blown up on the NCAA. I think the odds of everyone being really obnoxious that day are high and angry and nasty. And I dread the late night walk back to wherever in God for wherever sake it was. Remember we went to that trailer park apartment deal and it was bad. And we're like hooking a ride on a golf cart.
I can't remember what it's called. It's something village, right? It's
It wasn't a place where I want to live.
Well, on the way back, if I remember correctly,
you want to move there?
Didn't
to the
golf,
village?
Didn't the golf cart have a flat tire, so we ended up walking?
Something like that.
Wasn't that what happened?
I can't. I have blocked. I have learned that really bad experiences, I can block them out.
They had shuttles, but I want to say it was a flat tire or some issue that caused us to walk.
We walked a long way.
Yeah. So you think that's going to be bad? Well, see, here's my thing, though.
I think the atmosphere around that stadium that day is going to be
very caustic. We have this conversation every year. I don't think Ole Miss people are going. You're already that. It's your typical Egg Bowl crowd of do we go, do we not go anyway? Both sides, both places. And then on top of that, now you've got all the NOA stuff. You know that it's going to be a little more hostile than normal, even for the fans. I think it's a record low crowd turnout for Ole Miss and Starkville. The only thing, you got some people that go, hey, they're not going to a bowl. Let's go see them for the last time.
It's the last time you'll see them until the next September.
Right. That's the only thing that makes me wonder a little bit. But otherwise, no. I think there's going to be a lot of hesitancy. I think there's going to be a lot of irritation in some direction, no matter where that direction is. And I don't think people are going.
There are going to be a lot of storylines that day, and none of them are going to be very positive.
It's a night game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can't get them. JP 11:20.
See, if you told me it was a Thanksgiving Day game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 7 at night. We won't get out of the stadium till midnight. We're walking to the damn village out there at 12:15. Nothing goes well.
There might be a party going on. We can just go hang out, have some.
We could.
Have a brewski and some brats. And
what do you think they have at the late night parties over there at Mississippi State? Some natural light.
Is it natural? What's the other? Was there a natural ice at one point too? Or is it just natural light?
I remember there was a Bud Ice.
Yeah, didn't it get into like the Bud Bowl there once or twice? Bud Ice against Bud Dry or something?
Bud Dry. What was Bud Dry? What was that? Was that the non-alcoholic beer?
Bud Dry beer. It was originally successful in test markets and was expected to be a popular beer with the rise in light lager popularity. It's a form of pale lager with the sugars are more fully fermented to give a less sweet beer. It's also known as something else. So, yeah.
But it didn't make it.
It appears that it was not a success for Anheuser-Busch in their pursuit of beer domination. No.
What was there Bud Ice?
It was introduced in April of 1990 with the slogan, "Why ask why, drink Bud Dry." Someone made money there, Neil. Why ask why, drink Bud Dry.
But Bud Ice still exists.
Bud Ice was introduced in 1994.
Yeah. It's an adjunct lager style beer.
Is there a beer you won't drink? Because not beer snob standpoint, but I mean, if that beer is in the cooler and it's the only beer in the cooler, you go, I'm good.
Not really. The only beers I just really don't like are the real, real, real weedy beers. I'm not crazy about them at all. It has to be the last beer.
Yeah, there's a natural ice.
And there's a Bud Ice. I'm looking at the bottle. I can honestly say I've never really seen that.
The Bud Ice?
I don't think I've ever seen Bud Ice in a store.
Okay.
You warned them. You said we had no idea where we were going.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd discuss Bud Ice and Bud Dry and the Bud Bowl today.
Do you like any beer? If someone came down and told you today, Chase, you'll never have another beer the rest of your life, would you lose any sleep?
Nope. I can have every other bit of alcohol?
Just a beer.
No.
Yeah, if someone comes down and says you can never have alcohol the rest of your life, it's...
You've got questions.
I'm soul searching. I'm wondering how I'm making it.
No, I mean, there are beers that I kind of like.
Like what?
Well, because I don't like beer, it's normally like fruity beer. No, it's like fruity beers and stuff. Like I like Covenanting Strawberry in the summer. I'm only wanting a beer when it's really, really hot outside.
Yeah.
And certain things. And I still would rather have something else. I'd still rather have the honeysuckle and lemonade or, you know, a vodka lemonade or something along those lines.
That was really good, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you can't taste the alcohol in it. It's more dangerous than good, but yes.
Sometimes danger's good.
But no, it's the fruity hot stuff. Like I like Sam Adams Cherry Wheat. Yeah. I only want one. I don't want two, but I like those. I like
the Summer Shandy. Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy's good. It's good.
What's the citrus beer? It's a citradelic.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I had a Sierra Nevada. It was an IPA with a little orange.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, I'm. If it's hot though, and I've got a selection or a full bar, it's going to be some type of fruit and vodka, or it's going to be a daiquiri or something along those lines. It's not going to be a beer. Actually, not even sure the last time I had a beer. I guess I could probably figure it out, but I don't
haven't
know.
Had one since about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you know. You have much less than you used to, however.
I do. I'm better.
You're better. Okay.
Better.
You're better.
It's probably one of those things as you get older, as Tim McGraw said, a little less beer, a little more lemonade, perhaps, you know.
You're drinking more hard liquor though. It doesn't really count. Tim McGraw didn't go, "Hey, where's
a little less beer, a little more whiskey?"
Yeah, where's the absinthe and the Everclear at, guys? Let's
Well, I haven't had Everclear in a long time.
You haven't?
So don't make it
more. You haven't had Everclear in a while? Did you say Rosema's coming back?
I did. I saw that, actually.
Yeah. I showed it to Dylan, and he had no idea. And I'm like, I'm old, and you're really young.
Yeah. I saw Dylan finally got a new profile picture. He and Laramie Tunsil in the same photo.
I haven't asked him. Do you think he had to wait till he didn't work for the school anymore to do that?
Probably. He looks very happy in the photo.
He was pumped about he and Laramie in the picture.
Well, Laramie should hire Dylan.
Should hire him.
Laramie, at least on a part-time basis, as a part-time publicist.
Yeah, I see it as like this entourage situation where Dylan is his E or his turtle or somebody in the show. I don't think you watched it, but just his can be his driver. Be his business manager. Be something.
He could be like Jay-Z is to KD.
There you go.
Just part of the posse.
The hype man, if you will.
Yeah.
If he was a boxer, the guy that brings the belt in over his head.
Exactly.
And yells. And
here comes the champ! Here comes the champ!
You know, I don't think Apollo had a hype man, did he?
No, Apollo Creed didn't.
He was his own hype man.
He was his own hype man. He came in.
Because he had Tony, and then he had the cut man, the dude with the little longer hair, the cut man.
Yeah, because he had all the nicknames. The Master of Disaster.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah. Rocky Balboa said, how many nicknames he got? Here comes Apollo. Did you think he wasn't going to come? I was hoping.
I was listening to Corolla the other day, and he mentioned he had run into Special Stallone somewhere, and he was basically name-dropping because he loves the movie Cobra. So they were discussing the movie Cobra and whatever Stallone. Stallone said that for Antonio Tarver's role in Balboa,
right,
he actually was trying to get Roy Jones Jr., and Roy Jones would never return his phone call.
Really?
Wouldn't even call him back to talk about it.
Some people, who was I talking to? They said they think Tarver's career was basically ruined by that because he had to either lose weight or gain weight.
Probably had to gain weight.
I think he had to gain weight for that role, and when he went to lose it.
Just composition never.
He lost strength in the process and was never the same fighter.
And it wasn't like he could fight at the upper levels. He couldn't keep the weight and fight.
Yeah, right.
So. Anyway, there's your trivia for today. Special Stallone. Roy Jones Jr. never got a call back.
It's a sneaky good movie, Rocky Balboa.
It's good, especially compared to 5. It never happened. And then
no, 5 didn't happen.
Balboa is not as good as Creed, but it is better than 5. It is better than 3.
Yeah, 3's bad. 3 is bad. I'm
3
sorry.
Is not overly watchable.
3 is an hour and a half of dragging, and then the worst fight. The Balboa Lang rematch was not a good fight. I think it's because Mr. T was not able to do some of the things probably in the ring that they would have liked. It was not anywhere near as good as Balboa Creed, Balboa Creed 2, Balboa Drago. Those were all really good fights.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on this. We'll stay with this topic while we're doing that. We'll tell you about Community Mortgage. Located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Also a leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask about the float down option. which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. Contact Jason, 662-234-2704, or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Registration for Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer for the fall 2017 season currently going on through July the 7th costs just $55 per child. There is a multi-child discount available. The age range is 4 to 16. It's classified via year of birth. This year's season will begin in late August and run through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season starts. Games are played at FNC Park. The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. You can send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com, that's mississippibanker.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700 or 662-821-8800 in Oxford.
We've somehow been talking 25 minutes. Bless all you people today.
I'm very sorry.
It is June. It is the middle of the week after a few busy days. There'll be something else crazy go down because that's what happens in Mississippi college football these days.
Well, and this NCAA thing is not going away. It's one of those things where it is literally at this point developing daily, yet it's difficult to talk about it daily because the changes are – it's not like a series of explosions. It's kind of like a moving glacier. It's moving,
yep,
but it looks the same. And when people say, what's going to happen? Hell, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is a total shift for me because for the longest time I said, they're getting hammered. If you'd asked me from January through, I don't know, about a week ago, gut feeling, honest feeling, not trying to inflame and not trying to piss anybody off. If you'd said to me, tell me what you really think, I can handle it. Okay, 2-year bowl ban, major suspension, a lot of scholarships.
And a couple show causes.
That's what I really think.
Now, I don't know.
Yeah, and people would be like, oh, God. And then my response, this is the conversation I've had with people. Well, you asked. Had you not asked, I wouldn't have said. Now, if you say, what do you really think? I give you the worst possible answer, and you get really pissed off, but it's my honest answer. I don't know. If you told me it's really bad, I'd go, yeah, I can see it. And I can. If you told me they kind of get... Look, they've already gotten one. People go, well, they're gonna win. They've already lost a year on a bowl and double-digit scholarships. It's already bad. I can remember people going, this is not going to be a bowl ban. But now if you told me, hey, it kind of stays where it is, maybe they just add a little something and everybody gets out of here. I mean, I do think there's going to be a suspension because failure to monitor, if it sticks, has always led to at least some form of a suspension. Isn't that true?
I think so.
So stands to reason that if that sticks, and I don't know whether it will or not anymore, but if it does, there will be some suspension. It's difficult for me to see a scenario where the NCAA goes into Indianapolis in this deal and just loses face, but they might try to save some face somewhere. I don't know. For the first time in months, I'm in the I don't know category.
Yeah.
Really bad is still very much on the table as an option in my mind. And no, I'm not cheering for it. Don't start. But if you ask me honestly, do you think that's possible? Yes. Do you think a catastrophic ruling is possible? Yes, I do. Do you think a ruling where they get away going, well, we survived this, is possible? Yeah.
To wrap up our other conversation.
On Creed?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Carl Weathers, good athlete. You can just watch him move in the ring and go, okay.
Yeah.
Really good with choreography. Like, I think they were able to script things out really well, make that entertaining. Because, I mean, frankly, that's some of the better – I mean, it's over the top, obviously. Pun not intended. But it – film, masterpiece, right. Over the top. But pretty good fight scenes. Good contact, good movement, good camera work, good fight scenes. Mr. T appeared to be a lot more substance or lacking substance than the other ones, more just...
I can't believe I'm about to say what you're saying. Finish your thought, but it crossed my mind and I started laughing.
And then in Rocky IV, who we all think is just the best popcorn flick of the bunch, if I got to sit down and watch one.
God, yes.
So we get everything in this one.
So much.
Yeah.
It's like an NCAA case in Rocky.
Well, Dolph Lundgren... Martial artist, very, very advanced martial artist. So
damn
great athlete.
Damn, killed Balboa.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, Rocky started it out, and Sylvester Stallone tells Dolph Lundgren, hey, I know we've got some scripts here, but let's just kind of fight. Let's just go in there and throw some haymakers, get it on film, and see what happens. Well, God bless Sylvester Stallone. He gets in the ring, and Lundgren punches him in the chest, and his heart starts to swell. It almost killed him.
Yes.
I mean, literally. Yes. He was breaking things in Stallone, who was incredibly, had done a great job of naturally getting buff for this film.
However he did it.
Props to running through the snow. It works.
It does. When you go to the mountains of Russia to train.
The big bag of boulders that he's pulling up over his shoulders. And yeah, he runs to the top of the mountain, the biggest mountain in Russia.
When you go to the mountains of Russia in the dead of winter and stare the beast in the face, you come out.
Well, for a little while, you know, at some point he tears the picture off the bathroom, the mirror.
You come away.
Gets a little scruff going.
He does. You come away from that with abs of absolute ripped steel.
Why does Pauly say when they get there that you can't get the Rose Bowl game? The fight was on Christmas.
Maybe
were they going to hang out in Russia the next week too?
Maybe he meant the Blue Bonnet Bowl.
Well, I mean, now it might have been it might have been like a 7-year training thing, because Rocky's kid ages 18 years between the end of Rocky IV and the beginning of Rocky V.
Yeah, he meant the Rose Bowl because that was like the first week they were there for the next Christmas. They spent the whole damn year there. No seasons though. Cold.
Yeah, it's like Alaska. It's just dark
barren,
and cold.
Barren day. Cold.
So what were you going to say? Go ahead.
Mr. T was on Dancing with the Stars. He was remarkably stiff.
Was he really?
Yeah, he couldn't dance at all.
What's he doing now?
Like motivational speaking?
Does he do it in character and in voice?
I hope so.
I pity the fool. Was it A-Team? That was his big thing? Was it he was an A-Team guy, right?
Yeah. Stay in school. I pity the fool.
How old's Mr. T? I've got it up.
61.
65.
Close enough.
Been active since 1980. A little professional wrestling career, it appears.
Was not a very athletic dancer.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you're compared to Rashad Jennings and the gymnast and David Ross and professional athletes who are either active or just retired. You're not going to look all that polished. Nancy Kerrigan, people who are pretty athletic.
I guess it's all my Rocky. What's the worst Stallone movie that you watch?
See, I don't like all the like shoot 'em up movies. I never have.
Yeah, I'm not watching the Expendables. I don't mean that.
Yeah. I mean Rocky V, the one that didn't happen.
You still watch it?
No, hell no.
Oh, I meant what do you watch? Like you see it on, you go, this sucks, but I'm
Rocky III.
Okay.
I'll still watch it.
Over the Top or Tango and Cash?
Now, Over the Top is the arm wrestling one.
That is, yeah. Where he has to get his kid and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'll watch that one before I watch Tango and Cash.
What do you got against Tango and Cash?
Nothing. Just not my
I mean, the worst movie he ever did was Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah.
It was him and, what was her name? The golden girl, the mom.
Not Betty White, but Ree. Oh, I don't know who you're talking about.
No, Estelle.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name was.
Hold on. I'm sorry, people. I can't help myself. Estelle Getty. Yeah. 2D in the movie.
You know a movie that I watched the other
Rotten
day?
Rotten Tomatoes. Stop or Mom will shoot. Guess the number.
17.
Four.
Yeah, it's bad.
Sorry, go ahead.
A movie that came on the other day, and I can't remember where, but I was like having insomnia and watched it, was Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you leave it on. It's fine.
Yeah.
I saw McGregor and Mayweather sign the contracts.
Really?
Yeah. I think I saw that yesterday.
Are they going to box or are they going to wrestle?
Well, they're not going to wrestle. Neither one of them wrestles.
But you know what I mean? Are they going to do the MMA thingy where they can all take each other down to the ground, or are they boxing?
Hold on 1 second. Floyd Mayweather retracts August 26th date reserved for Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather might be as good as I'm reading from SB Nation, as good at trolling as he is boxing. Not long after Mayweather Promotions proposed a date of August 26th for MGM Grand in Las Vegas, expected to mark the time and space for his super fight, the Nevada State Athletic Commission brings word that Mayweather has since retracted that request. So never mind. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but anyway, they're supposed to box though.
If they box, it's at least entertaining to see whether McGregor can do anything.
Whether he catches him.
Yeah. If they're doing MMA,
I don't know how Floyd stays in that.
I question the people who are around Floyd Mayweather making decisions. They need to get off drugs.
Well, but McGregor has no chance to win a boxing match.
No, but he has a chance to not get killed in a boxing match.
Well, no.
And when I say killed, I mean literally.
But I don't know that he can hit Mayweather.
I don't know that he can catch him. But Mayweather is a technician as a fighter, not a brawler.
That's what I'm saying.
So he's not going to.
My assumption will be McGregor throws a lot of swing and misses and gets tired.
Gets tired.
In a boxing match.
And
Mayweather just pops him with jabs over and over and over again all night.
Jabs him and infuriates him.
Yeah. Doesn't really hurt him, just pops him.
Yeah. And wins on points like 7-3.
Okay.
We have a unanimous decision, judge number one, 6,418,000-1, Mayweather. That point, it would be a little bit of a clue that the fight's over.
All right, a little bit of news. There actually is a little bit of news, or a lack of news in one instance. No Ole Miss players or signees taking on the second day of the Major League Baseball first-year player draft yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Rounds 3-10 were yesterday. I thought Jordan Fowler might get popped. He's an Ole Miss signee. It tells me that he has some signability issues that teams called him. He said no.
He gave them a number that they didn't meet, and so he fell.
The odds now are very good that he will be in Oxford. Because after the 10th round, unless they have money left over, the max signing bonus is $100,000.
Yeah, which is...
David Parkinson will likely go early today. We'll see. I still have just a gut feeling. This is not educated or even really sourced. A gut feeling he might sign anyway. But we'll see with him. Tate Blackman will be interesting today. I think that could go either way. And then from a signee standpoint, I think they're probably home free. They're going to lose Steven Jennings. They're going to lose Caden Lemons and probably get everybody else to campus.
Was that surprising that the guys went that early, Lemons and...
No, I had them both in the second round. They both went in the second round.
And they're gone, right? I mean, there's no...
Yeah, because if you're taken in the second round, they only took you because they had a deal in place. They're not going to lose that amount of slot money. Because let's say the Pirates don't sign Jennings, they would lose whatever his slot value is from their bonus pool. And they're not going to let that happen. So, no, they are going to sign. Ole Miss will lose the two right-handers. They'll get the left-hander in. And then maybe more importantly for them right now, they'll get all the bats to campus. Tim Elko, Tyler Keenan, Anthony Servideo, those dudes. So
they need the bats.
Yeah, gotta hit better.
Yeah.
Gotta hit better. So that also announced yesterday, we might have talked about this in the podcast at one point, might have mentioned on the message board, I really don't remember. They had the press conference announcing the web.com event that's coming to Oxford next April.
Tell me about that. What is that? I heard people talk about it, and when I first heard about it, I'm like, well, that's no big deal. And then people started saying, this is a big deal. So
the web.com, to put it into something you understand is AAA.
Okay.
It's AAA for baseball. However, it's actually probably a little closer than AAA because at the end of the web.com season, okay, for the full season, 25 players, the top 25 money winners on the web.com tour get a full year exemption on the PGA Tour and get their tour cards. They get automatic advancements up.
That's pretty good.
So the web.com is a lot of young guys trying to make it and a lot of older guys that fell down for a year and are trying to get back. Also, like Wesley Bryan did this last year, if you win three events on the web.com tour in a season, as soon as you win that third time, you're automatically sent to the PGA Tour with a two-year card.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big deal. You'll have a lot of really good golf. You'll have some names you know.
So there'll be a tournament in Oxford, like a four-day or three-day?
Yeah, it will be. It's in April, maybe the week before Double Decker. I don't have that exact, but I think that's right. Maybe the 16th to the 22nd is the week it is.
Oh.
It's at the Country Club of Oxford. They're going to do it'll be a 72-hole tournament, I think. I think all web.coms are 72. Could be 54, but I'll look. And, yes, it's a $550,000 purse tournament. I think they're calling it the North Mississippi Classic. Also makes Mississippi one of only five states that have sanctioned PGA events for all three major men's tours between the PGA, the Champions Tour, which is the over 50 tour, and then the web.com. So
it's a pretty good get for that course too, right?
Big get for the course, big get for the town. Yeah. I knew that the web.com people had come several months ago and kind of scouted and were talking about it, but I really didn't realize just how close it was happening until I heard it was official. But yeah, $550,000 purse, April 16th to 22nd of next year. 156 players competing. Mississippi joining California, Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina as the other states with stops in all three tours. And yes, again, as I said, players on the top 25 of the money list are given PGA Tour memberships for the next year. Jonathan Randolph got his card back via the web.com tour last year. Remember? Yes, oh, yeah. The podcast.
Yeah,
he was on the PGA Tour, fell down to the web, and then now is back. I would assume, depending on where Ole Miss's schedule is, they could probably send their best player into the event as well. Probably be able to have a little local action there.
Yeah.
If Braden's still here and that doesn't counteract anything Ole Miss is trying to do with their schedule, I'm sure he'll.
So what you're telling me is April 16th to the 22nd, you'll be out of pocket.
You know, what's funny about this is I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. Going will be neat. I'd like to watch a little of it. This sounds probably stupid to some people, but in my head, I'm actually more excited to record it and watch it on TV to see the course and watch them play the course on television, knowing that I play the same course all the time.
Like, might learn more watching them do it on television.
Yeah, just kind of like go, hey, well, yeah, I've had that shot. Like, this does this, and kind of understand so many things about that. I'm actually more interested in watching it on television than I am in person.
Might even be more humbling to watch it on television, too. Like, yeah, I can't do that.
Well, yeah, no, not playing the same game. It's a little different. It's like yesterday, Steve Stricker had scheduled an earlier practice round time, so there was a spot open when Dustin Johnson was going to do his practice round yesterday. And some like amateur was like, oh, well, he signed up in the spot. And then like they asked him afterwards, like, what was that? And he's like, yeah, different game. No, I think it might have been the worst thing in the world for the amateur because I think it just killed his confidence for the day. He went, oh, yeah, we don't do the same things out there.
He went home and said, honey, I'm giving up golf.
Yes, I know I'm in the U.S. Open, but I'm good.
No more golf for me.
Got another topic there with golf. Before I do that, I'll allude to it with here, MasterCuts, part of the podcast, lawn and landscape companies, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape, serving the Oxford, Tupelo, and surrounding areas. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design installation, landscape lighting, irrigation installation, maintenance, and turf. They do holiday lighting for your yard during the holiday season. So get a free quote. Give them a call, 662-607-7773, or online, mastercutslawn.com. If you sign up for an annual contract, you mention the podcast, first cut is free.
Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service any of your tailgating needs, really. They offer SEC only and full service packages. They have rental packages available, or they will set up your gear. It's up to you. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, down and year-round storage. They'll set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. It's the largest vendor in the Grove, but they still manage to know each customer personally by name. 7 South typically sells out every game, so visit their site today to secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com, 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. They're an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service with Comer, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off your bill. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. With OUB, you get the Kasasa cash checking account. They'll pay you 2.5% on your balance up to $50,000, refund ATM fees nationwide. Kasasa cash checking account includes free online bill pay, mobile check deposit using the app. 1-year CDs right now at OUB, 1.75% APY. And 3-year triple option CDs right now paying just over 2% APY. And with that option, you can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if their 3-year CD rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So yesterday, got to give credit to Rory McIlroy. Going to get off golf in a second, but I did find this kind of funny. Just with it's Jeffrey's favorite week of the year because of the complaining that goes into it.
Because the U.S. Open, because the course is hard.
Yeah, normally pitches. The U.S. Open makes it difficult, and all the golfers complain and gripe and bitch about it.
So, I like it.
So this started. Are you familiar with all of this course? It's Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
I've heard about it.
Kind of Lynx-style course.
He went Jeffrey's and played this played one,
it.
Right?
Yeah, Jeffrey's played it. And, all right, there's the, you know, fescue, tall, thick grass that grows up everywhere. Looks Lynx-ish. Doesn't look like a normal American course for the most part.
Yep.
So we've got fairway and then, like, all this fescue stuff and then a lot of rough outside that. Well, Kevin Na, player on the PGA Tour, took an Instagram video 2 days ago, I guess, and he was griping because he stood like 3 yards off the fairway and just tossed the ball into the fescue. And he's like, you probably can't even find the ball. If you do, you can't advance it. And he's hacking at it and trying to show people that the rough's too high and you can't hit it out of it. And he goes, there's no reason for somebody to lose a ball here. It's stupid. I wish the PGA Tour at some point would actually design a U.S. Open that could be played. A lot of people were asked about it yesterday. Rory McIlroy, one of the people, asked about it, quoting Rory's response. We have 60 yards from left line to right line. You got 156 of the best players in the world here. If we can't hit within that avenue, you might as well pack your bags and go home. Like, I don't, and he's kind of yelling here as he's doing this. I don't get it. Even the first and second cut, or I'm sorry, he goes, if these are the widest fairways we've ever played in the U.S. Open, and even in the first and second cut, it's another 10 yards on top of that. So if you got 50 or 60 yards to hit into and you're complaining about the fescue that's wider than that, I mean, I don't think that's, I mean, it's a hazard, he says. And I've lost my thing. I completely lost the thing. Basically, he says, if you can't hit into that, you ought to just pack your bags and go home because it's not going to matter anyway if you're that inaccurate.
Look, I don't know enough about golf to have anything more than a potentially ridiculous opinion.
That's fine.
I like when they make the courses so hard that the best players in the world struggle. Because the people who win it, ultimately, are truly the best players in the world. Playing at their very best, overcoming obstacles. Because if you just put the best players in the world on the average municipal course, right?
Yeah.
They go shoot a 50.
Yeah, birdie fest.
And that's great.
There's a place for that.
And there's a place for that. And I will watch that. It's great to watch the great... I enjoy watching the greatest players in the world play great in damn near anything.
Yeah, McIlroy finished with "It's a hazard," and you would go, and so, I don't know. It's the U.S. Open, and it's supposed to be a tough test, and if guys can't put it in play within a 50-yard zone, I don't think they've got much to complain about.
They're not going
to
win anyway.
That was his point.
He's right.
If you're that inaccurate, you're not beating everybody else anyway.
So what's fun is to watch the guys overcome it, and it's tough, and it's a battle, and it's a grind, and that's fun because that same dude could literally walk off that course and walk onto a municipal course somewhere and go shoot a 48. I mean, so that's fun to me to watch that guy who could go to your municipal course and put a blindfold on and tie an arm behind his back, shoot a 48, go play at the place in Wisconsin that's so brutally tough and shoot an 81. To me, that's fascinating. Now, to other people, I'm sure, and I'm sure they make a valid point, but I'm not a golf purist. I watch golf when I watch it just to be entertained, to be wowed, to be entertained, and to watch them struggle is entertaining. It's like the British Open when the weather's insane and they struggle with it. I kind of catch, and it's not because I'm enjoying watching him suck. No, I'm just kind of enjoying watching them have to overcome obstacles.
So you're not less likely to watch because the scores are high?
No, I'm more likely to watch because I know how good these people are.
Yeah.
It's why sometimes you enjoy watching Clayton Kershaw versus Madison Bumgarner when they're both on top of their games and they're making major league hitters look like little leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me. Other people say, well, that's boring baseball. I kind of find it fun.
The people that were really criticizing try to make the point that, well, because it's right off the fairway, it's unfair that if you miss a fairway by 3 yards, you shouldn't lose your ball. And Rory's going, well, if you put a lake there, nobody would be complaining.
He's right.
It's just because it's tall grass.
So you have to get it on the fairway, period, or you get punished.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy that's probably going to hit into the fescue a few times himself.
And if you do, no one's killing you if you do. I mean, you still get to play golf. It's going to be all right.
Well, they made the point last night. You can kind of listen to how people are reacting and griping all week and start picking your winners, because the guy that's already worried about the grass, he ain't winning this week. Mentally, he's already at such a worse place.
Well, that's kind of my point.
Then the guy that's Spieth or McIlroy goes, it is what it is. Hit the fairway.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
This tournament is going to be hard. If I want to play in an easier tournament, I should go to the Ruston Country Club and join the Peach Festival tournament. You'll win. They'll hand you a trophy and
$400.
$700 and a bag of peaches. And you'll get your picture taken in the Ruston Daily Leader, and you can carry on with the rest of your day. I mean,
did you ever have anything published in the Ruston Daily Leader?
I won a wiffle ball championship.
No, I mean writing. Did you ever do any string work or anything?
No, I never did.
Okay. You and wiffle ball, you bring that. You put that into every conversation that you can put.
I was a great wiffle ball player for some reason.
That's what I hear.
That's when they start whining about it. I laugh. Play. I respect the guy. Is it Fowler who said that? Well, I'm kind of cheering for him now.
McIlroy.
I'm for him then.
I didn't hear Fowler's take on it. I don't know.
McIlroy is exactly right. It's going to be hard. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when you sign up for the U.S. Open, you do so knowing that the course is made intentionally challenging. Is that correct? I'm not even a golf person, and I know that.
Yes.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah, it's probably the most difficult. Most times, it's the most difficult layout they'll face all year.
Intentionally.
Yeah, they get a little gimmicky with it at times, but this doesn't appear to be gimmicks. It's just the way the course is
built. But you know going in that they might even get gimmicky with it.
They're going to grow some roughs up, the rough up. They're going to put some pin spots in places that are stupid to put a pin in.
Been that way for a while.
Yeah.
Going to be that way.
Yeah.
Okay, then don't go if you don't want to.
I remember the controversy last year because Dustin Johnson's ball moved or didn't move because it was just sitting there and started rolling on the green.
Life went on.
Phil Mickelson needs a 4-hour delay to be able to make it to the tournament tomorrow.
I thought he said he wasn't going to go.
Well, he hasn't withdrawn yet. They did USA Today did a story on Roberto Castro. He's already in the field. A guy that I don't know, whatever. He's the first alternate, and he's just waiting on someone to drop out or feel not to show up to be put into the tournament, but he's preparing for a tournament he's not 100% sure he's going to play in. No, Phil, because there are thunderstorms possible for the area, hasn't withdrawn. His daughter is graduating at 10 a.m. Thursday morning, giving a speech or whatever at the high school.
In California,
in Carlsbad. And he is going to, if the weather is bad or looking bad, boarding a plane as soon as she is done, trying to get to Wisconsin to get to his tee time. Somehow he ended up with a really late tee time on Thursday. Just
shocking.
Just luck of the draw.
Amazing.
The USGA pulled it out of the hat, and he had one of the last tee times on the books.
Go figure. How'd that happen? Amazing.
I think there might have been a little insider help there.
No. Luck.
But even with that, he needs a lot of help. He needs 4 hours, and he said he would either turn around or he'd show up and get in the Golf Channel booth and tell everybody how to finish second because he's done it 6 times. So
yeah. One way or the other, he's happy.
His caddy was out there yesterday getting everything ready just in case.
Just in case. I will say this in all seriousness. Good for him to be at his daughter's graduation.
I don't even think it was a difficult decision. And this isn't about Phil, good guy, bad guy. Just an easy life decision. I mean, this is...
You do the right thing. That's the right thing. Not only for his daughter, but for him.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of guy he is, what kind of guy he isn't, nor do I really care. I'm glad for his daughter that dad's going to be there.
Yeah. Four-hour delay and he can get to Wisconsin.
If he misses the U.S. Open, so be it. Be all right. It'll be all right. He can play in the next one.
In the grand scheme of things, he's got a little cash.
Yeah, he's fine. Okay. Yeah. Stop. To me, guys like him probably show up and go, it's kind of fun. It's hard. We'll see what happens. I might be a disaster. Maybe I'll get going.
Well, that's what I was talking about in Memphis. I mean, he's become a showman at this point because he's not the guy. Like, you know, he wasn't playing with anybody because all the guys he was playing with are pretty good. But there were guys on that course that were grinding, going, hey, please make the cut. Get me this $18,000 check. Let me just do this. I've got to be really careful. Phil goes into a tournament and it's, I win or I don't. I mean, are we really concerned if I finish 6th or 24th? I mean, who gives a crap?
Yeah,
I don't even know where the check is from the thing when I leave.
He's not flying Southwest to Wisconsin.
Well, you know, American takes off out of LAX at whatever, you know.
You know, if this layover.
Layover. No, I think he'll board his jet, which I believe is named Airfield, and then
of course it is.
I think he gets to Wisconsin, and then he's helicoptering to the course.
Yes,
maybe, is the way this works.
Yes,
I kind of want to see him be here. I mean, because anybody who plays golf will understand this. Like,
so you're telling me he's not flying into Milwaukee and renting in budget? Is that what you're saying?
He's winning an Enterprise for the car that he can't get because they've already given that one to somebody else. Because you know that little thing on the bottom where it goes, or equivalency, where you go, you know, I rented the...
No, damn it, I don't want the extra insurance.
I know you signed up for the nice Volkswagen Passat, but sorry, we only have the Taurus.
And we need to walk you around the Taurus now,
yeah.
Phil.
I kind of, though, want to see him make it just in time where he doesn't have time to warm up. Because all those pros, you know, take an hour and a half to warm up, whereas... Yeah. The hacks like me go out there and you go hit like 3 balls and 3 putts and go, all right, let's go to the first tee. We'll go see what happens. I want to see him just have to show up and walk to the tee and hit a driver.
He'll stretch a little on the plane.
Oh, that's probably a putting green on the plane.
Probably.
Get a few putts in.
Could be. If you told me, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. Podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs, not your typical pharmacy. If you or your loved ones have been confused by multiple medication bottles, labels, or went to the pharmacy multiple times per month, they've got a solution for you. Under the Right Way Meds program, all the medication arrives once per month, packaged in easy-to-use box containing strip packets with the dates and times of doses marked on each one. Tear off the first dose of the day, next one ready when you are. Give them a call, 855-252-1011. Also, visit the website, rightwaymeds.com. And if you're a medical provider, ask about the ways they can help with your compliance numbers.
If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael Oswalt a call. Michael is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Look up his website, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. You can check out recent testimonials, see his track record, see what kind of properties he has listed. But here's the bottom line. Right now, the land market's really hot. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now is the time to do it. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. You can give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also brought to you by the Rebel Locker Room. Guests join us on the Rebel Locker Room hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles, everything you're looking for the upcoming football season is right there at the Rebel Locker Room. Speaking of football season tickets still available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. And last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. A complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Also great lease deals. You can drive a brand new Nissan vehicle on a lease at 1990s prices. Hard to beat if you are driving less than 15,000 miles a year and you're on a budget, like most of us are. That is an option you should look into. To do it, get in touch with Gene and Sandy there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Interesting story on ESPN. I haven't read the entire thing. It's in ESPN Magazine this month. We talk all the time about identity for Major League Baseball. Cover story. Going against the grind, talented, joyful, and Dominican proud, Manny Machado is the face of MLB's new identity.
Really? In what way?
Just talks about...
I'm going to see him in Baltimore.
Miami, Dominican, has really done well with an American fan base as well and different things. Just a lot in here. Very long story, but...
By the way, speaking of baseball.
Okay.
You owe me a slight apology. It's no big deal.
Oh, the bat speed thing.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge hit a ball that off the bat was 122 miles an hour.
It's a fastball.
I'm sure it was.
Was it coming in at 95?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's going to increase his exit speed versus a BP ball that's going to be coming in at 78 miles an hour. It's not going to have the ability to produce quite the same amount of exit speed.
Let me just say that if someone can hit a ball any faster than Nolan Arenado hit it on Thursday night at Wrigley and BP, I'm wowed. My eyes literally could not keep up with the ball. And I was locked in.
Just because you like the best in the world doing their craft, balls hit that hard, like things along those lines, I do think you would really enjoy in person at a golf tournament.
I know I would.
Watching them that close where they hit it and it's...
I'd freaking love it.
I mean, we're standing, I guess at the first tee when they were going off, it was Koepka and Mickelson and Hudson Swafford, I think, was in his group the other day. And Hudson was one of the guys Walker Jones mentioned on the podcast. He looks like Jordan Spieth, except he's much bigger. So like he's always in the same Under Armour stuff, but you can tell it's not Jordan because Hudson's a much larger man. We're probably 40 yards down the fairway on like the left rope, and when Koepka and them hit the ball, even though it's nowhere near your ear, it's up in the air and over you. You still hear the bzzz when it goes by you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been compressed to the point where it's still sounding as it goes over your head.
I'd love to watch golf. The people that go, you hate golf. I do not hate golf at all. I will watch some of the U.S. Open this weekend. I'm not going to be glued to it the way you are because I don't know enough about the people. But, yeah, I love watching the best people in the world do stuff at the high level.
Kind of a funny tweet here as I was checking Twitter to see if we'd missed anything. Someone tweeted at Rick Cleveland, the former Clarion Ledger columnist, says, hi, I'm working on a project about House of Cards, and I was wondering if you could answer some questions for me. Rick, quote tweeting him, says, wrong Rick Cleveland, check another tax bracket. Apparently there is a Rick Cleveland that is very highly associated with House of Cards that is not our friend of the pod.
Where are you in House of Cards, season 5?
I've watched 4 episodes.
Okay. I'm on episode 7 right now.
I just did the episode. I don't know why I haven't kind of zoomed through it, but I haven't. Frankly, I've just kind of been a little uninterested. I'm watching it, and I'm entertained enough.
I'm pretty entertained. I'm intentionally not doing it that way.
See, I meant to get through it, and I meant to get through Bloodline just so I wouldn't get spoiled by anyone, and I kind of haven't.
Yeah, I have not started Bloodline yet. I was going to last night. And
Bloodline came out first.
Yeah, I've kind of saved it.
Okay. I just finished the episode. Not giving anything away. Where they run through the entire episode and the very last scene is back at the beginning.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
But like Claire walks out of the room and like says something and that's how the show starts and ends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
So, and I got really confused, but I didn't hit play again, and that's where we are.
How old is the actress that plays Claire? Robin Wright.
Robin Wright. Take a guess.
I'm guessing she's in her 50s.
She is 51 years old.
She is remarkably fit for 51 years old.
It's almost like she's an actress that has to stay fit on television.
She rocks the pencil skirt as well as any person can.
She doesn't need Hillary's pantsuit collection.
No. No.
Robin Wright's fine, except for the fact that she married Sean Penn.
Yeah, that's weird.
And stayed married to him a good while.
How'd that happen?
14 years.
Crazy.
96 to 2010. Was also married to some dude named Dane Witherspoon from 86 to 88. He was on Santa Barbara, the soap opera.
Dane was?
Yeah, he actually passed away. Died in 2014. What?
Nothing.
All right. I'll
the acting in that movie is fantastic. And not movie, in the series.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the acting in House of Cards is fantastic.
Okay, last couple minutes. I'll give you a chance here to explain to me. And I know it's just our society we live in. Is it possible, and it doesn't happen with football, and that's why I get so confused. Is it possible to have an NBA game, just a game, not a series, where we don't discuss legacies after every single 40 minutes, 48 minutes?
It's becoming that way, and it's annoying as hell. It really is.
It shifted. It became LeBron versus MJ to then LeBron versus KD for current players. Like,
oh, yeah, and everything with KD now is about how his decision mirrored LeBron's and how it's different. And he knew, when did he know? And he left. He went to the Warriors. He made his decision. I didn't like it because I'm a Thunder fan. I get it. Would a title in Oklahoma City have meant more? Would it have been more impressive than a title in Golden State? I think so. I mean, I do. I think if he had stayed in Oklahoma City and the other night, the Thunder with Westbrook and Cantor and Adams, or Westbrook and Horford and Adams and Oladipo. If Kevin Durant had carried that group to a title, would we all say, wow, that's an incredible achievement? Yes. Was it easier to win a championship with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson stretching the floor? Yes. Does that take anything away from the level that Durant played in the playoffs? Not even a little bit. For at least one series, in a series where LeBron James was fantastic, where Kyrie Irving was fantastic, where Kevin Love showed up and played pretty well, Kevin Durant was the best player on the world. He was the best player on that floor. The flip side of this is people go, see, LeBron can't win. He averaged a freaking triple-double. Shut up. By any measure, LeBron James is one of the two or three greatest players to ever play basketball.
3 and 5 in finals now?
Yeah. But in a couple of those, let's face it, they were heavy on
incredibly undermanned.
Basketball reference thingy ran the numbers, and the Warriors win that series 92% of the time. Well, it's a pretty heavy underdog when you're on the 8 and they're on the 92. I don't know why sometimes everything has to be, well, see, there you go. Instead of...
Because people really like Twitter.
People really like Twitter and stuff and its hot takes. Instead of just saying, wow.
That's why there's justice in the world that Skip Bayless' show has 0.0 ratings across the United States.
Yeah. Durant's fantastic. Durant's been fantastic for a long time. Had Durant not had the foot injury, who knows what happens. It is interesting to think about... Lee Jenkins, I think, wrote the story about Draymond Green after Game 7 last year where the Cavaliers are still in the building celebrating, and he picks up his phone and texts Kevin Durant. Why Kevin Durant says that text didn't happen is beyond me. But whatever, it doesn't matter anymore. Everything, and when people do the, well, see, Westbrook dragged him down. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. The Thunder made a finals with Russell Westbrook. They beat the Spurs several times in playoff series with Russell Westbrook and KD together. They had the best record in the NBA in 2013, and Westbrook got hurt. Then Durant had injuries. It just didn't work out. Sometimes things just don't work out, and it's not because somebody was flawed. No one does this about Isaiah Thomas right now. Well, Isaiah Thomas was absolutely crappy in the series against the Cavaliers. He's awful. Sometimes it happens.
All right, going to tease this for tomorrow. Going to give you a day to think about it before we discuss it to tomorrow. Relevant to our industry. Just going to give you the headline, then I'm going to close the podcast.
Okay.
Hawaii football offers scholarship to fifth grade quarterback Titan Lakaden.
I saw this.
Fifth grade. Fifth grade. I think he's 11.
You're older than Carson.
Yeah. Hawaii offers scholarship.
I live with a 10-and-a-half-year-old.
You do? Yeah.
College.
Have a lot more on it. I'll read the story tomorrow. We'll go from there. So, again, thanks to all of you for hanging through a really I used potpourri of topics last week. That might have should have been saved for today, but
a
might try to work.
Plethora.
Might try to work in Bud Ice into the headline today. So, thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.